Fellow pilgrims on a journey to a long and an endless eternity. Bring your greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only Lord, the only Savior, our only hope. But He is the hope of glory. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your faithfulness. Thankfully, we can be Your children. And we ask Your presence, Your direction, Your Holy Spirit to fill, direct. Fill our hearts with You, O God. Help us to see beyond ourselves and beyond men and see You this morning. Draw our hearts to You. In the name of Jesus, amen. We think back across history. Many times we're impressed with men. We think back to the time of the Reformation, or even before that. We think of men that took their stand and men that did things that affect our lives today. And we appreciate the steps of faith that men of God have taken. Think of Conrad Grebel, Felix Monson, those back in the time of the Reformation, many, many others. We don't even know their names. We move on through history and I think back in my childhood days when there were men like, you possibly recognize names such as George Brunk Jr. And their tent meetings, which brought revival to many people, Andrew Jancy. And we move on a little closer and maybe think back into the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, various revival movements, and we think of men. And we think of things that are going on today, and we think about men and women being here and there. And that all has its place. But God wants us to see beyond man and see Him. It's really not about Felix Mons. It's really not about George Brunk Jr. It's really not about any other man. It's all about God. And we need to keep that vision clear. That it's really all about God. The Apostle Paul said these words. He said, "For we preach not ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ." And I think that's what should be the focus of our testimony and of our preaching. Not about ourselves. Yes, we can testify what has happened, but it's all about what Jesus has done and is doing and what He's doing in our lives. And it's all about Him. I'd just like if we sang that song in the Christian hymnary, 719 this morning. It's just more of a chorus-like. And I think we probably know it by memory, but that's all right. If we have our books right there. Let's talk about Jesus. Number 719. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords, supreme through all eternity. The great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Let's do that one more time, but stand to your feet. Let's sing it like we really want Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords, supreme through all eternity. The great I Am, the way, the
the truth, the light, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more.
Amen. You can be seated. You can turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 27. When we have these words, the conclusion of verse 27, that say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'd like to use that for a text this morning. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That simply stated God's will and God's plan for our lives. One of the wonderful things about God is that though He's so great and has such wisdom and just knows everything, yet His plan and His way is so simple that, you know, even a child can understand so much about the way God does, even though you can't explain how He does it. God's plan is simple. So simple that the uneducated and the people that can't even read can understand and receive the things of God. God's plan is simple, but it's complete. You know, and He's still doing that work in our lives today, isn't He? It's simple. So simple we can receive Him, but it's so complete that it takes all a lifetime to go through that school. We don't graduate with a title and says, now you've finished, you've completed it, and here you have a title with a... That sounds... No, we just don't graduate from that school. We're still in it. And we will be till we finish this life. But it's all about God. It's all about God. It's about what God's... Christ in you. The hope of glory. There's many substitutes that bid for our attention. This text says Christ in you. You possess Him this morning? I trust God you do possess Jesus, that we all do possess Jesus. But there's many substitutes that bid for our attention and to fill us. They want to fill us and occupy us and detract us from our attention from Christ. Whatever, whoever it is that fills and takes Christ's place and makes Christ of lesser importance has become to us a God that we personally need to identify. We personally need to denounce and allow God, allow Christ to be in us completely. There's a lot of gods that bid for our attention today. The God of entertainment, God of sports, God of technology, God of education, materialism, religious organization, our vehicle, our house, depending on what level of society you live, it may be something even lesser and lesser and lesser. You know, you don't have, every level of society has its own special gods that call them, that things that bid for their attention, for their loyalty, for their devotion. Things that every one of us have things that make us tick, if you understand what I'm saying. Every one of us have things in life that really get our attention. And Jesus wants to be that. Amen? Jesus wants to be that. But there's so many other things that bid for our attention. We do well to analyze and think of our own, what it is in my life that wants my attention and that distracts me from Jesus Christ. I was thinking of that this morning. Our brother was reading there in, from Ephesians chapter 6. And he says that we're in a warfare. We're in a battle against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know what that means? We're in a spiritual warfare against wickedness in the places where we're to be worshiping God. The heavenly places, that place of worship. Worship is the giving of ourself to God. Just giving ourself to God. Giving to God glory and honor and praise. The giving of ourself. You ever struggle with a time in your private devotions when you're reading the Bible and all at once, wake up. My mind is somewhere else. What's happened? You're praying and all at once you realize I'm going through a formality. I'm thinking of something else. My mind's way off. We're in a battle we're fighting a battle that's in heavenly places. Places where we're to be worshiping. And so, God's will is that Christ be in us. And that He is the one that makes us tick. He's the one that is our hope of glory. We all have ambitions and desires that we hear something said that relates to that. And right away we're alert and we're awake. And what doesn't really interest us too much, well, we can fall asleep while it's being said, right? Doesn't really interest me that much, so I can sleep. Or I get really, yeah. Well, you hear what makes us tick. We're alert. Let it be Christ that alerts us, that makes us rejoice and makes us... Christ dwelling within, filling, inspiring, satisfying, leading, enabling, empowering, etc., etc. Really, He's the only hope of glory. There's a lot of other things that give us aspirations, and it's not wrong to have other goals, to have goals in life as it relates to what we're doing and all of that. That's all a part of life. But above and beyond all that is Christ, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. The one who is supreme. And let it be in our life. God's call to His children is always an upward call. It's always an upward call. You look through the Scriptures time and again, and the call is upward. Jesus said to His disciples, He said, look up. For your redemption draweth nigh. Look up! As He was ascending, they looked up into heaven. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith, of our faith. The call of God is always an upward call. Taking us, that call of God takes one, it takes us, it'll take anyone who by faith takes the step from the powers of darkness to the kingdom of light, from the sinfulness to fruitfulness. From deception and lies to grace and truth. From enemies of God by wicked works to holiness of life. As He says in verse 21 of Colossians chapter 1. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death. To present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that wonderful? Christ in you, the hope of glory. I believe we would all know and confess that this is God's call for us as His children, wouldn't we? We would say, I know that God has something for me that's above and beyond these earthly things of life. We have our jobs. We enjoy doing our work. We enjoy life. But we know that there's something more. Just these things in themselves don't satisfy. God created you and I. He created humanity as a threefold being with body, soul, and spirit. You know why He gave you a body? Why did He give man a body? He gave us a body because He wanted a temple. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, that God dwelleth in you? That's why He gave man a body. And so when Adam and Eve were there in the garden before sin entered the picture, they were there in complete and full satisfaction. God dwelling in them, with them. It was a complete satisfaction that was there. When sin came, marred that relationship and God's presence left the body, there was a vacuum. There was a vacuum, and man has cried out ever since for something to fill that vacuum. And this Satan comes and offers a lot of substitutes to fill the vacuum. Sometimes we say, oh, it's such a terrible thing. We see people on drugs. We see people with all these vices in life. What's it all about? It's an effort to fill the vacuum. It's just a poor soul that's trying to find satisfaction. You see that soul out, way out in sin. Just remember, there's the soul that God created for His glory. And He can yet redeem him. That soul is just, you'd say, oh, could a person like that, ever really find the Lord? Yes. They're looking for something. That's why they're doing what they're doing. And so in that light of that, Paul said, wrote by inspiration, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. You don't look at him and decide whether God can save him because of how they look and how they're acting. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. We see them as a candidate for salvation. One that God can reach out and change. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We all struggle with an earthly mindset of the Laodiceans, lukewarm and good, religious, something that fails, but it's not Christ. The person out there that's not religious tries a lot of other things. A religious person may be filled with something like the Laodiceans, but it's still not Christ. I want to tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, we can be religious and not even know Jesus Christ. We can be religious. We can go through the forms. We can go to church every Sunday. We can teach a Sunday school class. We can preach. We can do a lot of things. Turn right around and go back to the house and we're the same old man, the same old person we were before. That's religion. But it's not Christ. Christ changes the life. Christ changes the life. Had a man ask me in our community. He didn't know me from before. He asked me who I am. Oh, yeah, I've heard. You're religious, aren't you? I said, I don't know. And he looked at me. He was a good Catholic. I said, I don't know if I'm religious or not. But I said, I want to tell you something. I have Jesus Christ and He's changed my life. And I gave Him my testimony. And I said, you can have all the religion around. There's plenty of it around. But it's without Jesus. You need Jesus. He said, you know, that makes more sense to me than anything I've heard in a long time. The world is really... They see that religion just doesn't change men and women. We all need Jesus. Let's not choose a substitute for Jesus Christ. Let's not have the mentality of the Laodiceans with the self-justification, self-centeredness, and earthly pleasure that hardly get the eyes above the horizon. God calls us with the upward vision. Christ in us. Christ in us. The hope of glory. You know what happens when Jesus Christ really is given the opportunity to fill our lives? We want to share that. When the hope, when Christ in us, the hope of glory is really what makes us tick, we want to share Him. There's something about it that we just love to share Him when He's really living within. Then the challenge is to just ask God to open the doors and give us the opportunity to share Him. He has lots of souls out there He wants touched. And I don't think we need to be on a guilt trip because I just don't know if I've talked to enough people about the Lord. If we sincerely pray, God, You open the doors, put that person in my life today that You want my life to touch and be willing to do that. God will open the doors. He'll do it. We just need to take the steps of faith and let go and let God. When Christ Jesus truly dwells within, the hope is upward, in glory. Colossians 1:27 again, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we possess the hope of glory, the only and the... It's only because Jesus Christ has made it possible. You have a hope of glory? That's not a vain and empty thing that He's talking about here. It's not just, well, I hope that when I die, I hope I'll make it there. I've done this and I've done that. That's not what He's talking about at all. He's talking about a hope that has its roots, its anchor in the promises of God through Jesus Christ. It's not a hope that's, I just hope I make it there. There's a lot of people who have those kind of hopes. It's not the kind He's talking about. He's talking about a hope that's sure and steadfast, that's anchored in Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the security that's in glory. Christ in you, Christ in us, the hope of glory does something to us. We'd like to notice a few of those things yet this morning. What Christ does when He's really in us and fills us with that hope of glory. Paul said in the next verse there, in the 29th verse, he said that this Christ in him, the hope of glory was doing, he said, which worketh in me mightily. Which worketh in me mightily. You know, that's just what happens when we're really open to Jesus Christ. And we say, Lord, come in and take over. I can't do it, but I want You to do it. There's something that happens. We aren't the same person anymore. I remember what happened about 20 few years ago. Just by way of testimony. When God began moving my heart to go preach the gospel to the poor, and I didn't know what it was all about, and I began crying out to God, God, what's this all about?
And I didn't know which step to take. I didn't know where to go, how to do it. But something began to happen. And God's still doing those things today. It wasn't just Abraham that took that step of faith. God calls you and I to be taking the steps of faith today. You know, Hebrews chapter 11 is a tremendous chapter of faith. We look back on those heroes of old, those men and women that cried out to God, believed God, and God moved their hearts and lives. They took those steps of faith and we say, oh, how marvelous, how wonderful. But he comes to chapter 12 and he doesn't say, therefore, we being compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, now let's look at those people and remember what they did. He says, here is where your faith comes into place. Here is where the rubber meets the road, we say. How is our faith today? And he says, you look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to be inspired, encouraged by those heroes of faith. But we look beyond man. We look into Jesus. What happens when Jesus is in us? The hope of glory. There are three things that we notice here in verse 28 in the context of our text. And I think it's always so interesting how that the Scriptures just unfold. You know, there's just truths that just like jump out at us as we're reading the Scripture. Wow, I never really noticed this before in this light. And then start studying the context of the text and it just opens up more. There's three things. In verse 27, the last part of the verse, well, 27 speaks of the, he says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Now, he's speaking there of God's work through Jesus Christ in bringing many sons into glory, bringing the Gentiles in. He says, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Those old Gentiles, you know, us old Gentiles that were so far from God, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, without God, without hope. And here God is bringing us in. How marvelous, how wonderful. That's the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, Christ filling this old Gentile, giving him that secure hope of glory. He says, whom we preach, warning, teaching, and presenting. That's what happens to the person, to us, if we have Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. We're open to that warning. We're open to that teaching. And our life is all about presenting ourselves before God. And the message or the ministry that God gives to us is a ministry that is warning every man, teaching every man, and desire to present every man perfect in Christ. That's what happens when Christ dwells within. I'd like to notice just a few of those things yet this morning. Warning, teaching, and presenting every man. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is an active relationship. The Paul to the Thessalonians said, and I'm not sure if I can quote that in English. In Spanish it says, which is active in you, actúa. It's active in you. The work that God has done in you is an active work. When Christ dwells in our hearts by faith and is the hope of glory in our life, there's something that's active there. Very active. There's not a stagnant pool of water. There's a river that's flowing from within. There's something happening. There's an overflow. And it blesses others. Amen? It blesses others. It begins right at home. Husbands, your wife will be blessed when Jesus dwells within. Wives, your husband will be blessed when Jesus dwells within, when He's your hope of glory. And every one of us, our neighbors, will be blessed when Jesus dwells within, when He's our hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of... There's an active work going on. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I want to consider this word, warning. Warning. And I believe every child of God, every one of us, need to have our ears and our heart open to warning. To the signals of danger. We face an enemy. And it was, I think the devotional this morning there from Ephesians 6 was of the Lord this morning. The fact is, we face an enemy. An enemy that's greater than ourselves. An enemy that's deceptive. An enemy that we can't handle. Only God can. We need to take the warnings. There's none of us that are really strong. Or maybe you are this morning. But I'm not. And I don't think any of us are really strong. The Scripture says so much about taking heed. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest what? Lest he fall. Oh, but brother so-and-so, now he would be an exception. Think of what a place he fills in the church and how powerful his messages are. Remember, he's only a man. He's only a man. He can fall. I remember so well, sad situation. A very well-known man of God, preacher, bishop, seemed so strong, but he fell. Into sin. He repented. Praise God, there was pardon. There was. But one brother told me, he said, if he fell, it makes me feel like I'm terribly vulnerable. Listen, look unto Jesus. That's the only hope for any of us. And don't look at that man and say, well, how could he have fallen? Because any of us can. Remember, when you think of somebody that has fallen into sin, just remember, that could be you. It could be I. So we need warnings. We need to be open to the warning. We need to be open to the counsels of brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We need to be open to that because none of us are so strong that we can't fall. Every one of us can. That potential is within. Now, Jesus can keep us from falling. We believe that too, don't we? Jesus can keep us from falling. But we must be in Jesus, Jesus in us. Ephesians chapter 6. And we need that. The battle is the Lord's. We all have a deceptive foe. That's why we need the warning. 1 Peter 5 says, for our enemy, or how does it say that? Satan himself, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Another passage says that Satan is as an angel of light, trying to deceive. We need warning, because we have a deceptive foe. We need warning, because hell is a real place. It's a real place. It's not a byword.
It's a real place. We need warning.
None of us want to go there. We don't need to go there, but we need to heed the warnings. There's lots of them in the Scriptures. And God at times sends the warnings through other people to us. We need to be open to the warning. Warning every man. He doesn't say it's just a select few now that don't need this. We all need it. We all need it. Warning every man. We need it because there's only one way to glory, and that's by Jesus Christ. And so, lest we begin to put our trust and our confidence in other things, as he warns about in Colossians chapter 2, in the context again, there's warning against any other way than Jesus Christ. You know what chapter 2 is about, right? All these things, he says, take heed, beware, verse 8, lest any man spoil you, get you off track through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware. Take the warnings. It can happen to us as well. We begin to trust how we function. We begin to trust the applications we've made. We begin to put confidence in these things and think, yeah, with this now we've got it. We're getting it all wrapped up. Beware. There's not a group in the world that can make everything spelled out in a way that there's salvation. It's only through Christ. And I'm not belittling making some directives, some applications, and helping people on in the way of the Lord. We all need that help. But remember, those things don't save us. It's only in Christ. It's only in Him. I think this is one of the things we need some warning about. And I know, you know, there's... You can go off in the ditch on either side. There's 2 miles of ditch for every mile of road. Never forget it. We can get off this side or that side. We can go off on the deep end of liberalism. We can get off on the deep end of legalism. And the devil doesn't care which side we go on if we just get off the road. The only way is Jesus. He's the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I would rather, any day rather be a Ruth going from Moab towards Bethlehem, Judah, as a seeking soul, than I would be an Elimelech heading from Bethlehem, Judah, down to Moab where he died. Faith takes us from where we are to where God is. It's not so important where we are, it's the direction of travel. It's where we're going. It's only in Jesus. I think every one of us that were raised in Christians' homes appreciate the teaching that we've received. But remember, that teaching cannot save you outside of Jesus Christ. Warning. Warning every man. Because Jesus is the only way to glory. Now, moving on to teaching. Teaching every man in all wisdom. Why do we need that teaching? It's because ignorance of the truth is an open door to error. We might say, oh, well, since salvation's all just being in Jesus, having Jesus, we don't really need to be too concerned about studying the Scriptures and about teaching the Scriptures because it's just all about Jesus. Well, I'll tell you all the rest of the words all about Jesus too. This is all about Jesus too. All the teaching, it's all about Jesus. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them. It doesn't say
You've got to get taught everything before they can be baptized. He says, when there's salvation, they're worthy of baptism. And they need that baptism as a testimony, a public testimony to all the world that I'm now for Jesus. But then he said, teaching them. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And so the teaching is so important. The teaching is important because when there's not teaching, when we're not grounded in the Scriptures, when we don't know the truth, we're open to error. We're so prone to error. We need the teaching in all wisdom. And who is it that is wise? God alone. Any of you wise this morning? Any of us wise? Scripture says, if any man thinketh he knoweth anything, what about it? He knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. And we so often, I'm so prone to saying, well, I know one thing. Wait a minute, Lord. Really, smoking one day, he said, you don't either. If any man thinketh he knoweth anything, I'll step back from that. I think, I believe. Let's be careful. There's only one that knows it all. He knows it. I believe we can have assurance of salvation now. Teaching. Another reason it's important that we receive teaching is because teaching truth is planting good seed, and the fruit will be seen from that teaching. He says in verses 4 and 5 of this same chapter, thinking here about the teaching. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. There was teaching going on there, wasn't it? There was teaching. And that teaching brought, because they received that teaching by faith, it brought forth good fruit. As he says in verse 10, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We need that teaching because we need to be filled with the knowledge of God's will and word. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. Well, the last point here is that of presenting. Presenting, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. In ministry, that's our desire, isn't it? Yeah. We go out preaching, teaching, with a desire to present before the Lord every man perfect in Christ. As a believer, we receive the warning, we receive the teaching, and we present ourselves before God. You know what it is to present yourself before God? You know what it is to say, come before God in brokenness and say, Lord, here I am. I open my heart before you, my life. Whatever you see, search me, Lord. See if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Do whatever you need to do in my life to bring me through to glory. If it means stripping me of every material thing I have to make it through to glory, do it, Lord! Presenting. Study to show thyself approved unto God. What that really means in the original, in the Greek, according to Strong's, is study, think, meditate how you can really be pleasing to the Lord. You know, isn't that what the Christian life's all about? Just wanting to please God. It's not pleasing man anymore. It's not pleasing self. It's all about pleasing God. Study to think and meditate how you can really please God. What God's approval is upon. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, when we have God's approval on our life, we have a confidence and a joy and a humility and a trust that can't be shaken. When we're satisfied before God. Yes, Lord. I'm at rest. This is Your will, regardless of what man thinks. There's not a proud and an arrogant spirit about that, but a humility, but a confidence, an assurance. And I want to tell you, you and I need that assurance. You and I need that assurance. We need it as we face a hostile world. We need it as we're out there sharing Jesus. We need it as we go. I need it as I go out into the bush, out into the little villages back in 24 hours from the nearest gas station. I need that confidence of Jesus Christ there. You need it here where you have conveniences on every side. And the conveniences and luxuries and the plushness of your society would take and just envelop your whole being. And this be your hope. You need that assurance before God that, yes, Lord, I'm in Your will. What I'm doing is for Your glory. You're pleased with this. Presenting ourselves before the Lord. We need that perfection or that presenting of ourselves before God. That desire to be perfect in Christ. Perfect in Christ. And I don't think any of us would say, well, I've just about attained it. I don't think we would. God just patiently keeps working with us. But that's our desire. Read Philippians chapter 3. Isn't that what it's all about? We need that perfecting. Because Christ is our only perfection. It's only because of what He's done and is doing and can do and will do for us. He's our only perfection. We could look at chapter 2, verse 10 to 13. And ye are complete. Where? In Him. In Him. In Christ. Which is the head of all principality and power. Oh. Buried with Him in baptism, verse 12. Risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. Made alive together with Him. Hey, that's the Christian life in a nutshell. Those three things. Time and again, God just teaches us in units of three. We're looking at one, studying one right here this morning. And here we see another one. The Christian life in a nutshell, what is it? Buried with Christ. Risen with Christ. Life together with Him. There it is. We need that work, that presenting of ourself, that we might find that perfection in Christ, find that fullness of Him. We need it because we want to please God in all things. I think we've already touched that. We want to please God in all things. Verse 10 of chapter 1, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing. Is that the way I walked yesterday? Is that the way you walked yesterday? On Fridays, on Thursday, throughout the week? You're pleasing to the Lord in all things. Pretty often we fail, don't we? I do. I'm thankful I have a merciful Heavenly Father that I can say, Lord, help me. Forgive me. Help me. I just want to please You in all things. We need that presenting because we want to fulfill the Word of God. We want to fulfill the Word of God, the will of God. Chapter 1, verse 25. Paul was testifying, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God. To fulfill the Word of God. Hey, that wasn't just for Paul. That's for you and I today. To fulfill the Word of God. God wants this Word to be fulfilled in your and my life. We might fulfill the Word of God.
We say Jesus was here in this world and He was the living Word. And He was. But He also said, it's expedient for you that I go away. For when I leave, I will send the Comforter, and He shall convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because I go to my Father. And ye see me no more. Well, how is it that Christ, that the world can be convinced of sin if Jesus is gone from here? Because every person that receives Jesus Christ in their life becomes Christ to those around them. And the Holy Spirit is able to take your life and my life and reach in and touch other hearts. Because the Word of God is fulfilled in our life. Jesus is there. Christ in you. The hope of glory. God bless you. God keep you in the way of truth, in the way of Jesus. God bless you as you continue to serve the Lord here. Let the Lord pour out revivals upon your little group here. And you know, if we're not having revival, we're going into apostasy. I believe every worship should be a revival. A revival. Let God do that work. Christ in you. The hope of glory. When He's there, the hope of glory, you won't have to be pushing each other to try and get somebody to share a testimony. No, it's overflowing. Christ in you. The hope of glory. God bless you.
Well, thank you, Brother Ed, for that exhortation, focus on Christ and to keep Christ at the center of our life. And just a good practical encouragement for us to keep our focus there. Does anyone have any word of testimony or comments you want to make about the message this morning? Brother Brad. If you want to get a mic to him.
I appreciate that last part. If we're not reviving others, we are ourselves going into apostasy. Just a few hours ago, a man came up to me and gave me a strong 2-minute sermon. I don't know if he meant to speak that long, but he started out his what he was going to say with, he mentioned a worldly man who was a sinner who came to Jesus, and his testimony from that point on was that he was a servant of Jesus and he died, but at least people knew that he had changed masters. He was no longer serving the world and Satan. He was serving Jesus. But then all of a sudden his little sermon changed to that we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for all the good things the Lord has given us. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if he meant to say it or if the Holy Spirit was just directing him, but then he said, if we are not thankful for the things that we are enjoying, God will take them away from us, and then we will realize how good we had it. And in a way, we will be thankful for what we did have. And that is just a powerful sermon. I hope it blesses others the way it did me. God doesn't take good things away from us just to be cruel or mean to us. He wants us to start appreciating all the good things He does give us so that next time around we can be thankful and humble and appreciative for what He's giving us while we're enjoying it.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing the blessing there of that message with us. That's point number 3, presenting. Anyone else? Brother Nathan.
Just want to say amen to the message. Thank you, Brother Ed, for sharing that. And it was just a refreshing message for me to get my focus back on the Lord. It seems like maybe it's drifted a bit in my own heart. And just with getting caught up in various things that just it's so easy to do, you know, like he was saying, you know, when reading the Word or in prayer, and you realize your mind's somewhere else, and I acknowledge that's been my experience way too often, and I want to learn to keep that focus on the Lord, and so that He is my all in all, and that nothing else matters compared to Him. And yes, there's other things that go along with that, and but He needs to be at the center of every part of our lives, and so I just really appreciate that that message, calling our focus back to where it needs to be.
Amen. Yeah, I appreciate that as well. I was just thinking of the, you know, there's many parts of our lives that we need to recalibrate. I grew up on a dairy farm. We had a milk tank there, and every so many years, they would come in and recalibrate that tank to make sure that the chart that they were using, that we were really selling that same amount of, the correct amount of milk. They would come through and do that. Then they would make an adjustment. Either you'd get a credit or a debit, or if there wasn't any change, it would stay the same. Or if you think about our glasses, every so often we need to recalibrate our vision. And I think that's what the message was this morning. It just helped to recalibrate our vision. You know, every so often we need to get our eyes examined and recalibrate it. Brother Kent, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm thankful to have been here today also. I appreciated the reminder and the opening about we are to stand. It's not necessarily that we're supposed to try to proceed and go forward. We're not supposed to retreat, but we're to stand. And we're beginning all those weapons, if you will, accoutrements to help us to stand. I like that idea. You know, we can extinguish those fiery darts if we choose to. But a fiery dart is definitely designed to either burn you or penetrate you, to wound you or kill you. So to take care, those fiery darts, they're not just there like the fireworks to make us go wow and ooh. They're there to do destruction. And so I appreciated that. I thought about the children's lesson and with what Brother Ed was sharing also, the thought of Romans 8, I think it's put this way, that for we are saved by hope, but hope which is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And the patience of waiting to rise up on those wings like an eagle. That eagle, if he doesn't want to do a whole lot of effort on his own to start flapping his wings, he just pays attention. And when that wind is right, all he has to do is extend out those wings and up he soars. The effort is waiting on the Spirit, if you will. And let the Lord provide the Spirit. But we have to wait and see that it comes. And we can be resting in that time of waiting. And Brother Ed, I just want to appreciate how it was an encouragement. I've heard others say this in the past, that I wish it had gone on longer. Because you just kept hitting point after point that is so real. We know it. We've heard it before. But somehow when we hear it in that right demeanor, that it just makes you want to go out and have that overflow of Jesus shared with others. And so thank you for spending your time in the Word, and thank you that God has used the vessel of your presentation today just to leave us with that encouragement to serve God in a more full way to the best of our ability, trusting in that hope that is presented today. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Kent. Anyone else? Brother Ed. Ed Miller.
I very much appreciate the message today. You know, we live in a very religious community in Lancaster County. But in this, I want to have the determination that Paul did in 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Mm-hmm. I want Christ to live through me and to, for His glory to show forth.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.